Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast addressing the OT and IT data integration challenge in next generation IIoT and Industry 4.0 systems. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Simon Collins from Prism Tech. Simon is a senior product manager at Prism Tech, responsible for software platforms for the industrial Internet of Things. He obtained a bachelor's degree in microelectronics and computing, followed by a master's degree in advanced manufacturing systems. He's worked as an engineer on a number of industries, including manufacturing, nuclear, and defense. He has been in product management roles for almost 20 years, working with product portfolios covering a range of different technologies. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving about 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, let's run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate today. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Simon, the floor is yours.
Okay, thanks very much, Kurt. So the topic is addressing OT and IT data integration for next generation IIoT and Industry 4.0 systems. But before I look at the data integration challenge, I just want to take a little step back and look really at why, what that convergence is, and then why that convergence is necessary. So the information technology domain and the operational technology domain really exist as separate silos today. So in the IT world, we may have ERP systems for doing materials planning, and a number of business-related activities. We may have the sales CRM, customer relationship management applications. And those typically exist in a separate world from the operational technologies, which are far more focused on machinery and on physical equipment and assets. So we believe that OT and IT have to converge. Where they converge in the center ground really gives rise to some very interesting business opportunities, and those business opportunities we believe will really allow businesses to increase their profits, increase efficiency, and drive growth for the future. So getting to that convergence is obviously critical to realize those benefits. And so that convergence starts to get into some interesting vertical market areas around smart manufacturing, for example, smart cities, and around smart agriculture. And enabling the data from the OT world to come into the IT world really allows those efficiencies to be realized. So that, in the markets we're talking about, would be classified as the industrial Internet of Things. So why is that necessary now? So IT typically has been managed from the top level, looking at what data is required for the management side of the business. And so the IT, traditionally every company has an IT department, and that IT department will work on deploying and maintaining that infrastructure across the business. The OT side typically gets built from the ground up, so looking at machinery and equipment that's required to perform a specific task, particularly in the manufacturing environment. So those two divisions, the IT division and the OT division, typically have been very separate, working with very different problem spaces and finding different solutions to those problem spaces. So the emergence really of sufficient computing power, sufficient algorithmic advances powering big data analytics, has really caused the IT world and the OT world to come together and need integration in order to take data from the OT world into the IT world and apply the computing power that exists to really drive new growth for the future. So there is an enormous amount of data on the operations floor, although typically that data has simply not been extracted from the operations floor or not been extracted at a sufficiently low level in order to gain insight from that data. But using that data to enhance productivity is really driving the industrial Internet of Things. So we need to find the common ground between the IT world and the OT world to fuel an information-driven infrastructure. So this is a number that comes from a report, some research that Cisco had done. The value for Industrial Internet of Things was estimated at $3.9 trillion, so a phenomenal amount of benefit to be had really by making better use of assets, for example, for increasing the uptime of machinery, for optimizing supply chain logistics, for optimizing the customer experience when interacting with the business. And there are a huge number of innovations that haven't yet even been brought into the marketplace because we don't have that ubiquitous convergence of IT and OT infrastructures today. So solving that problem, we believe, can really generate an enormous amount of revenue savings, but also revenue growth for the future, purely within the manufacturing realm. We look to some of the other verticals that would fall into the industrial Internet of Things, then we would expect that number to be significantly higher across the entire IIoT and Industry 4.0 space. So some other statistics. Today, a relatively small number of manufacturers actually have their plant equipment and their machines tied to their enterprise network. There's an enormous growth potential for connecting those unconnected assets. There's an enormous amount of data being generated. So the figure there of 2 exabytes, I'm sure as each year goes by, the amount of data generated and the amount of data that requires processing is scaling exponentially. The cost of downtime of machinery is also very, very significant. So unplanned downtime really costs businesses in terms of lost output and scheduling problems to meet their customer commitments. And as we look at the plant equipment that exists, much of it today is very old. So nearly 3/4 of U.S. plants are operating equipment that is 20 years or more old. So there's an enormous legacy base of automation systems out there, and so we contend that there is an enormous brownfield opportunity to connect that existing equipment and to realize the benefits of digitizing data and acquiring data from those assets. There's also a big greenfield opportunity as those legacy plants get upgraded and as new plant and equipment gets deployed, then we would expect a large market for connected machinery and smart machinery in the future. So the benefits of OT and IT convergence really revolve around optimizing the data that exists in the manufacturing world and the business assets that exist in the IT world. If that's done correctly, then that can reduce the risk to a business, and it can improve the security of the business. Overall, all businesses want to improve their efficiency and improve their performance. That way, greater margin, greater productivity, greater revenue. If the IT-OT convergence is done well, then we believe that the systems, as we go from brownfield to greenfield, systems can scale very flexibly. So if new functions need to be added to existing machinery, or that same machinery needs to be replicated to other instances, then that data can flow and can scale to benefit the business. So some higher level benefits of having that data available, we'll touch more on these later, but the ability to do real-time and remote asset monitoring, so being able to look at a piece of equipment in a remotely located plant and to see its health, to see its current status, and to start to do things like predictive maintenance and ensure that the unplanned downtime becomes a thing of the past. Those are the sort of higher level functions that really become unlocked once we have the IT-OT convergence under control. I just want to take a swift look at a comparison between IT and OT worlds. So the information technology really exists to allow transactional processing. So that would be things that humans are typically involved with. So doing systems analysis of existing data and running applications to allow humans to run the business and to make both technical and business decisions. So information technology today really revolves around humans. The operational technology really focuses on the machines. So it's around process control, monitoring control, and device-to-device communication. So they're very, very different end goals today. When we look at the environments that those exist in, the information technology world tends to exist in a data center for large businesses, centralized, running through standardized networks out to the humans that use the technology. The operational technology tends to live in a very different environment, tends to live in a much harsher environment, tends to live alongside machinery, and that may have all sorts of physical and environmental constraints associated with it. The data that these two different worlds are processing also comes into the system differently. So information technology, the data is predominantly generated manually. So whether this is data in an ERP system, it's humans that are causing the change in that system. So whether that be issuing purchase orders, invoices, quotes on one side of the ERP system, or managing the supply chain on the other side of the ERP to push bill of materials to manufacturing, this is all human-driven. Today, there is some data that's coming from OT systems, but we would like to make that a much more ubiquitous part of the overall environment. On the OT side, the data is really coming from physical things, So it's coming from transducers and sensors that are actually monitoring the physical world. So there is human input on the OT side, but those are typically at a high-level command. The humans are typically not inputting raw data in the OT world. When we look at the outputs in the IT world, clearly reports and summaries of the data for humans to take account of and make decisions. On the OT side, the outputs are going to be control of physical things. So that is control of process, displaying data as an alarm, and actually reporting low-level operation of the machinery. The owners of these two different worlds are also different, and this, I guess, explains traditionally why the different approaches have developed. So information technology tends to be the realm of the chief information officer and of the IT department. So there are other stakeholders. The finance guys want to know detail on how the business is doing, and the other functions, such as sales, obviously have a great stake in the efficient running of IT. However, on the plant side, a different set of people with a different set of goals typically do the initial engineering of the system. So those would be the operations managers, the COO, line managers, maintenance departments, typically are the guys that have ownership of the plant-level equipment. Connectivity tends to be on the IT side through centralized systems, through routers and switches, and is all typically IP-based. So it's all very standard and very well understood. On the operational side, the connectivity is very ad hoc, based very much on what the piece of equipment was intended to do and what the original goals of that quite narrow scope intended. Some of the connectivity is IP based, but much of it is either serial based or hardwired analog and digital logic. So the endpoints, again, really are driven by the needs of the different environments. So the IT world typically is human interfaces, so laptops, cell phones, and normally much of that equipment is tied to a person. On the OT side, the things, so whether it be a pump, a gauge, a valve, or a sensor, they're typically not managed very closely by an individual human. While on the IT side, the equipment changes quickly, so we tend to upgrade IT equipment often. On the OT side, the equipment can actually be in service sometimes for decades. So that's led to a situation where on the IT side, the solutions are very homogeneous. We have servers, which are standardized, we have routers, and we have gateways, and a very well-understood hierarchical system which allows the flow of data from one place to another. Standards are very well-understood. They're evolving, but they're well-understood in the IT world, and typically are at a high level not particularly proprietary. So there's widespread adoption of standardized architectures in IT. In the operational side, really a very mixed set of technologies. Those are sometimes proprietary. They're often based on a narrow scope of implementation, and that may be specifically to do with safety. The requirements may have required redundancy, and sometimes those communication standards are proprietary. There are a good number of standard OT protocols that exist, but sometimes those have been modified. And typically, those OT protocols are slow to evolve and slow to adopt newer technologies. So this is, again, really around the applications tend to be people-centric on the information technology. That should be information technology on the left-hand panel. So we're very human-centric on the left-hand side, and we're very thing-centric on the right-hand side. So the humans will interact, but typically in supervisory roles. So that's really why we believe IT and OT need to merge, why we need this convergence, and some of the different aspects of how those systems have evolved. If we look a little bit at the integration challenges, clearly, as we went through, one of the big differences was in having different teams and different stakeholders. So there's clearly a people challenge in IT-OT convergence. The processes that are used by those two divisions typically are different and are not necessarily well aligned for the convergence. But the key critical piece that is missing right now is a ubiquitous and easy, scalable connectivity at the technology level. And so I'll look a little more at that in detail as we move forward. So I won't try and go through all the detail on this slide. You can see that the left-hand column, there are a number of different categories, whether that be different budgeting, which tends to be to fall under process, or whether that is in standards driven, so the two domains working to different standards, and the general requirements for things like uptime, whether those are periodically available or whether they need to be available, high availability. So I won't go through that in detail, but really it's the connectivity and the data interoperability that's currently the key challenge that the industry has to address. So looking specifically then at the interoperability challenge. So OT typically lives within the walls of a plant or a protected area. But it's a well-bounded problem. The data is often in a proprietary format and doesn't typically leave the environment that it's in, the plant environment that it's in. On the IT side, there have been several breakthroughs over the recent years which have made enormous computing power available, not just computing power, but computing systems that really ease deployment of applications at scale. And so there are a number of now successful software as a service and platform as a service companies who are able to deploy very applications with very good benefits to business through cloud computing and mobility computing. So somehow we have to bridge this gap between the restricted and the ubiquitous. So the Industrial Internet Consortium has produced a reference architecture, and they've identified some common capabilities that need to exist in an IoT platform. And key to that, in terms of what we're discussing here, is the data ingestion, possibly the data storage, and certainly the data distribution. So as we look on the things on the left-hand side are typically close to control equipment. And there's then the IoT platform tier, which can perform some services locally, maybe all necessary services locally, but may also go to wider and more distributed computing to realize some of the greater benefits into the application domain and business domain, possibly in the cloud. So there are different standards that exist on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side of that previous slide. So in order really for companies to benefit from the huge amount of data that's potentially able to be generated by the assets, we have to enable the flow of data seamlessly and in real time from its source to where the computing environment that can most readily derive benefit is. And that may be at the edge, it may be in a fog node, it may be in the cloud. So one of the key challenges is how do we achieve that? How do we interface with all the different equipment? And how do we make that scalable so that regardless of which of the ingress and which of the egress technologies we're talking about, we don't have to engineer a unique solution for each communication path. So the IIC has developed a connectivity framework, and the connectivity framework exists at a higher level than the transport, which is higher level than the physical layer. So it's a fairly standard model. If we look at some of the technologies that exist in the framework level, the DDS, we have one M2M, we have OPC UA, we have web services. These have typically evolved out of different vertical markets. So as we try and get to an environment in which we can most readily benefit, then we need to be able to communicate from each of these northbound technologies to the connectivity at the middle layer and the field bus technology at the southbound layer. It's the integration really from that field bus at the bottom of the diagram up to the connectivity frameworks, which is key to the success and the growth of IIoT. So this is a bit of a busy chart, I apologize. But there are some core criteria for actually enabling this to work in a consistent manner and across wide systems. So actually having syntactic interoperability is very, very important. It's also very important to work with open standards. So many of the OT protocols are governed by standards bodies. There are, however, some proprietary implementations either on top of or alongside those OT frameworks. So as we look to the connectivity standards, it's also very important for those standards to be stable and useful for them to be deployed across multiple networks, across multiple vertical industries. When we start to look at how that really becomes deployed in real life, then we have endpoints that have a variety of different connectivity technologies. Remember that in many manufacturing environments, equipment has been built up over a period of time, not necessarily all designed in one go. So it's quite common to find within a single plant many different connectivity technologies at that OT level. So if we want to get data from across the plant floor, we may have to get data from many disparate technologies. And so in the IIC reference model, they have a gateway, and the gateway is the equipment and the software which will communicate with these different standards. And on the southbound side, that is. On the northbound side, they would adhere to the core standards that were on the previous slide and allow us to push information from the plant up to the enterprise level to the cloud. So when just make that diagram a little more tangible in terms of equipment. So at the bottom of the slide here, we have things, whether that be robotics, rotating machinery, electricity generation, or even vehicles. Each of these will be communicating using a different technology in all likelihood. We are likely to have to deal with multiple technologies. We have a gateway, which has to be able to interface physically and also at a protocol level with each of the things. We may have an on-premise computing capability, so we may have servers either in the industrial setting, so a ruggedized server, or in a data center local to the premises. So we have the concept there of edge computing close to the things, fog computing, bringing computing power to bear local to the plant. And then at the top of the slide, we have really data center, centralized data center and cloud. And the technologies that are used to move data around are likely to be different as we go from the edge, different paths through the network to the enterprise level. We're going to have to deal with multi-protocol systems. So within that, there are different constraints as to how the data can flow and how important it is that decision-making may be for hard real-time. It's going to have to be very close to the equipment, for example, in PLCs and in computing devices, very close to the things. As the real-time constraints become relaxed, we can move slightly further away from the equipment. We can transfer that data away. We may also have bandwidth issues, so we may not also always want real-time connectivity to the cloud. We may be in a physical location in which that is either impossible or very costly. We may want to do computing closer to the edge. However, at other times, we may want to move that data to the cloud where we can apply large computing resources to it. Example there might be in a marine environment, which you leave port. You don't really want to move large volumes of data while at sea. However, next time coming into port, that data can then be moved more easily to cloud. So there are a number of solutions that exist in the market space, and there are different companies, each with a slightly different take and a slightly different value proposition, solving different pieces of the problem. And so looking to ADLINK and PrismTech, then we've developed a product called Vortex Edge Connect. Vortex Edge Connect really is a scalable and extensible framework for connecting the endpoint technologies together. So we have in the diagram here multiple southbound protocols. So we may talk to a device using Modbus, we may talk to a device using CANopen. In order to be able to communicate with various pieces of plant equipment. On the northbound side, we have protocols which speak to the IT domain. So we have DDS, we have MQTT, we have HTTP REST. In addition to being able to communicate with the southbound equipment and the northbound equipment, we also may want to communicate with other equipment on the plant floor. So we also have east-west connectivity. And what Vortex Edge Connect enables is the data interoperability between all these pieces. So the problem that Vortex Edge Connect solves is the IT-OT data integration. So it allows the ingestion of data from the edge device, and it converts it into a normalized in-memory data model. The importance of that is that we no longer have to have a hard-coded protocol conversion from one protocol to another. We can simply allow all the protocol connectors to tap into a single common in-memory data model. So the data integration has connectors, protocol-specific connectors, that will communicate with either physical devices or northbound servers in real time and populate that data model with the real-time data coming off the plant equipment to the cloud, back from the cloud to the equipment, and also allow local processing. So if we have more real-time constraints, then we can actually do processing locally on the edge device. I mentioned that it's scalable. So once the data is in the normalized data model, then we can have one-to-one. So we may have specific sensor streaming data to an analytics data science model in the cloud, but more likely we'll have many sensors. So it's very common to have a lot of equipment that is trying to stream simultaneously. So different types of sensors, sensors from different locations in the plant. So we have many to one, and we can also do many to many data connections from the Vortex Edge Connect framework. So the upshot of that is that we, with this framework, have achieved the integration of OT and IT data, whether that's coming from industrial devices, of PLCs, of packs, of digitization of real sensors, and we're able to push that into the IT world, so into the compute resources which are able to do big data analytics and data science on that data. So on the protocol side, then the standard OT protocols are supported, and as we move forward, we will increase the coverage of protocol support both in the southbound and in northbound as systems evolve. So the Vortex Edge Connect is released now. It is platform independent. It's independent of the device that it's running on, and it's also independent of the operating system. Today we have released in Linux, and we have customers that are using Linux, but we expect that Windows will have its place in the in the second half of this year, we will launch our Windows version of the platform. It will be ported to different devices, to different processors, that be the x86, high-end i7 or Xeon, right the way down to very low footprint in resource-constrained embedded devices. In summary, then, the IT and OT convergence really is integration of the business systems, the ERP, CRMs, the logistics side, with the real-time data that exists in the OT systems. Because for companies really to change their operation, to drive increased efficiencies, increased profits and growth, then convergence of these two worlds is critical. So although we've discussed that there are problems around integration of the people, integration of the processes, it's really the integration of the technology that we are focused on. So we acknowledge the others, but the data interoperability and the connectivity is the key technical piece that we aim to solve. So in order for the Industrial Internet of Things to grow and for people to derive benefit from that, then this integration is key. So Cortex-Edge Connect really is the flexible and scalable data interoperability between IT and OT systems. With that, I'll stop presenting and we'll move to the Q&A section.
Great, thanks, Simon. Yes, we are to the Q&A section. I think we got a lot of great questions coming in. Also want to remind the audience you can continue to ask questions through the Q&A. Let's start with kind of the general question, and we'll dig into some of these other ones that involve more in terms of operational scenarios. How long do you think this typical IT-OT convergence will take? And is it industry-specific? Will some move faster than others? Will it take years, decades?
But I think it's not going to happen overnight, obviously. I think much of the drive will come from companies deciding that they need to grasp this particular problem and change the way their businesses operate. So we're already working with companies who are going through this process today. So for those companies, that convergence is happening right now. And for other companies, I think as they begin to watch those around them really scale to better efficiencies and to better profitability, then I think the realization will come and people will begin to drive those projects internally.
Okay.
So I think it will maybe be decades before everybody is ubiquitously using data, but it's certainly happening right now for real.
Okay. There's a question about asking you to elaborate a bit on how DDS could cover those endpoints using non-IP compliant Zigbee protocols.
Okay, so there are, so the, at the heart of Cortex-Edge Connect is the data model. And the way we get data into that data model is through the protocol-specific converters. So if we had a compliant Zigbee device with Zigbee protocol, then we could allow that data ingestion from the Zigbee device. If we have non-compliant devices, then this is true of any southbound protocol, not just Zigbee. But if we had non-compliant devices, then there is going to be some engineering level to firstly understand that non-compliance and to engineer a solution, so a connector solution for that type of device.
Okay.
Once we have the data in the data model, then we could use DDS, but equally we could use any of the other protocols once we've acquired it. The key problem is the engineering around the connector. So today, I think I skipped over this. Today, Vortex Edge Connect is a deployment technology. So the interface is very easy to use. It has a user interface that allows you to go and set up connection to a specific device. In future, we expect to have an SDK to allow users to write their own protocol-specific connectors. We don't have that today, but that is our future direction. So at the moment, that's work that we could potentially do. In future, it's possible that users could do that engineering work themselves.
Okay, great. There's a question about Vortex Edge Connect. Is it implementing the current convergence between OT and IT infrastructures today? Does it implement fog computing concepts?
So it's certainly implementing the convergence between OT and IT infrastructures. That's its whole purpose. So getting the data into the common central data model and then allowing it to go to wherever it needs to go, whether that's east, west, or north. And we are certainly focused on fog computing, and so our CTO is heavily involved in driving the standards around fog computing. So, yes, we certainly certainly expect fog computing to be important. Not everybody is going to push data to cloud, and so we see a case for both.
Okay. Here's a good question. So ERP systems, obviously on the IT side traditionally, how do you expect these to evolve as data of value becomes available from the OT side? Do you think that these, and maybe you can talk about broadening this in just in terms of any kind of IT environment, how do you think these things are going to evolve to accommodate OT?
I'm sorry, can you just repeat the question? Sorry.
Like systems like ERP, other kinds of IT-oriented applications that are kind of organizational, and traditionally they depend on IT kinds of metrics, but as you mentioned, the OT data that's being delivered from the operations side, how do you expect these systems to evolve and incorporate and integrate these OT information pieces? Like, will ERP be a different animal 5 years from now?
Yeah, definitely, I think so. So today, I think there's quite limited interaction between the raw data on the shop floor and the ERP and the high-level management systems. I think that's potentially an area where we're going to see the innovation that I talked about on one of the slides, is how can a smart plant, a smart something, whether that be smart agriculture, smart factory, smart energy, how can the results of that data science on that raw plant data, how can that drive increased value in things like the ERP, so supply chain? You know, I think it's exciting really to see how that field is going to evolve, and I think it may not be 5 years. I think over the coming years, I think we're going to see some exciting developments in that space.
Right, yeah. Like I think you mentioned predictive maintenance and things like that, where if the OT side of the IoT is seeing indicators where parts are wearing out, how that integrates with the IT pieces that are ordering parts and going through the procurement process and things like that. So you talked a lot about convergence of OT and IT. How important is it to maintain some aspect of isolation? As we've seen historically with breaches that start with the OT systems, like an HVAC system where people enter through and then end up finding their way into IT areas to get credit card access or things like that, what kind of strategies can the framework, maybe Vortex or other kinds of things that the IIoT consortium is defining, to put security around this convergence?
Yeah, I think obviously security is a major aspect of any computing environment. I think that's an interesting take on the access coming through the OT equipment up to the IT equipment to access things like credit card information. I think the inverse exists as well, but hackers will attempt to come through the IT system to get to the OT system to cause disruption.
Right.
So I think security is key, and the protocols have differing levels of security awareness. So, for example, DDS actually has security which can be defined in a way that would allow security to be implemented so that the OT equipment is not directly accessible from the outside world. From the inside world, from the OT equipment, assuming that you can't get access to it from the internet, then there are all sorts of physical protection, so information assurance and anti-tamper strategies that the OT world is already very familiar with. So I would expect both to have to come together, both the security side and the anti-tamper side.
Okay, great. Here is a fantastic question. It's kind of like your previous presentation applied to a market. So let's do our best with just a few minutes here to kind of map out how this application might fit into the framework and how you might deal with this. Now, this is a public safety application, and its operational systems end up being emergency vehicle sensors that send information to public safety answering point centers and incident command centers. So there are things being collected to sense emergency situations or what have you. Now, from the IT perspective, there's a computer-aided dispatch and a record management system that records evidence from these incidents. We're throwing this at you all at once, and I'm sure this is probably a much more detailed conversation with this specific person and application, but can you, in that environment, can you explain how you see IT-OT integration occurring for IoT as it pertains to this kind of convergence? Because there are privacy things involved here too, I suppose, and some dimensions of legal aspects.
Yeah, so I think that's something that I would certainly need to take a look at, exactly what OT exists in that environment. So that's that particular environment is one I'm personally not familiar with. Mm-hmm. I know that we have some within the company. We have some interaction with the first responder community. So I think that's something that I would certainly have to take back to the organization and really come back with a better answer. And I think key to that is understanding really what OT means in that environment.
Okay, great. There's another question that came in with respect to the energy sector, smart grid operations and energy administrative IT systems. Obviously, that could benefit greatly from OT and IT convergence as well. Do you have does Vortex Edge support these kinds of smart grid standards and protocols that are involved there?
So certainly, we're evolving the range of protocol connectors that we have. Again, within the company, we have interaction with smart energy companies, and we're working with a number of smart energy companies. So I think we need to get down to the specifics of which OT standards are actually required, and we may have support. We may, as I said earlier, need to evolve the support. We certainly will evolve the support to other protocols, and you know, it's a case of whether that support exists in there today or whether that needs to be developed.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I think that is it fair to say the summary is from the strategic, you're looking at a framework, and you're looking at a framework that encompasses and accounts for this OT-IT convergence so that data sharing can take place, security can be maintained, and then what the transport pieces are below is kind of abstracted from that. And that's kind of like you overlay the framework onto whatever transport you're considering so that you can maintain the data model above, yet be able to, you know, apply it to specific types of topologies and infrastructures underneath.
That's an absolutely superb summary. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
That's exactly.
Okay, good. So I think, I think that's the thing. So we're talking about the Vortex framework being the application, you know, model, data modeling framework that enables you to do those things. So there's a question about, SCADA. And SCADA is a control system architecture that basically it's designed to do control and management of programmable logic controllers and things like that, which are historical things that exist on an industrial floor. This questioner wants you to talk a little bit about how SCADA might apply to this environment. Is it yet just another underlying transport, or how does it fit within the framework?
Yes, absolutely. So again, the framework doesn't imply anything about where the data is coming from or where it's going to. It allows that connectivity. It allows the data to be normalized into a data model and then pushed to a different protocol. So there's absolutely nothing that causes SCADA not to be part of what we're doing. And so each technology, each underlying technology can come to the framework and allow data to be ingested or expressed.
Okay, great. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of today's presentation. I want to thank Simon for his insights on addressing OT and IT data integration challenges in IIoT and Industry 4.0. We at Open Systems Media and Prism Tech want to thank you, the audience, for attending today. You contributed excellent questions that generated a lot of great discussion after an already good presentation. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen in 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will be made available there. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.